Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand, and I have Leo Hyman with me on the show today. Leo's a frequent guest on the show. I'm sure most of you know who he is, but perhaps you could just quickly give yourself a little bit of an ID there, Leo, and then we can launch into it.
People can find me at leohoman.com. I'm an independent journalist, researcher, writer, author of the book Stealth Invasion, which came out in 2017 and was recently banned by Amazon for exactly the reason of one of the topics we're going to talk about today, Tony, about what's going on in Minnesota. It was stuff like that, example after example after example, in my book, Stealth Invasion, about how Islamic immigration basically transforms nations one city at a time. And so, no, you can't have that apparently on Amazon anymore, even though the book was sold there for 6 years.
That's crazy. And before we get into that, then I mentioned the word ID, and I noticed one of your articles about JP Morgan becoming the latest to roll out an invasive point-of-sale biometric payment plan following Visa, MasterCard, and Amazon. And, of course, I saw last week about Panera Bread rolling out the biometric ID, palm reading thing as an option for customers as well. So maybe you could launch us in there. What's going on?
Yeah, this is basically the digital ID system, which is going to be merged with the digital payment systems that we see popping up everywhere, Tony. Not your traditional debit card or credit card. People shouldn't think that when they think digital ID or digital payment system. These are instant digital payment systems that will be trackable in real time, and they're increasingly requiring a biometric proof of ID, either a palm scan or a facial scan or a retina scan or a fingerprint. These are all biometric markers that are individual, that are unique to the individual, and they want to merge that with the financial payment system. And we see it being rolled out here by JP Morgan, which says that it will offer a pilot program with several of its customers. And if that's successful, which you know it will be, they plan to roll it out network-wide in 2024, meaning all of JP Morgan's business customers who offer a retail business, a point-of-sale retail business, will be implementing this new palm reading, biometric reading, scanning system. And the article is just sort of giving a recap of where we're at with this, and letting people be on the alert for an eventual Mark of the Beast type system where you won't be able to buy or sell, Tony, unless you can wave your palm over the scanner or maybe get your face scanned, which sounds to me an awful lot like Revelation 13. I'm not some eminent Bible scholar who can say when exactly something is or is not the mark of the beast. But for heaven's sakes, if it looks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it sounds an awful lot like me, that to me, like it may be a duck. And so I think we should be wary of these systems.
Well, they're definitely putting all the infrastructure into play. Yes. Place to be able to do what Revelation 13 stated. I mean, this has never been possible in history before, and yet more and more you can see that they're doing it, making it more a reality. And I don't know exactly where it's all going to end, but there's so many facets to this. And I see, even just off track a little bit, but I was being for some years with a provider for cell phones and things called Vodafone. And well, Vodafone's just changed their name to One New Zealand And and they're announcing that as of 2024, they're going to be hooking up with SpaceX. And so there'll be nowhere in New Zealand that isn't under mobile coverage and so on. And it sounds all wonderful, doesn't it? Yes. Except you realize that this is all also part and parcel of being able to bring all of this into place, because there'll be nowhere you can't escape from their satellites and their tracking and everything else for that matter. So,
Right. And another way they do it is through what they call wearable technology, like an iPhone watch or something like that. I think they're moving, they want to do this gradually. We already all have cell phones, and they and you can scan a QR code and buy anything with your cell phone if you're set up with the correct apps on your phone. And from there, the next step would be to do it with your iPhone or similar type watch, your iWatch or whatever they call it, that you wear on your wrist, okay? And so now that's got people used to waving their hand in front of the scanner, right? And so then the next step after that, you no longer need a watch on your wrist. It's just your palm. And we already see, you know, Panera Bread, the restaurant chain, rolling that out. And now J.P. Morgan talking about rolling it out. So it's just a slippery slope, Tony, towards Revelation 13, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And we see the banking system looking precarious at the moment. And then you have people like J.P. Yes. Morgan basically buy up the smaller banks that go under. So they become right. bigger and bigger conglomerates.
Excellent point, Tony. That is a great point, because that's what these crises that they continuously foist upon us, they always result in more consolidation. Do you notice?
Yes.
And there's people already predicting that this latest banking crisis, when it all shakes out, could leave us with, you know, 6 or 7, maybe 8 large banks, and that's it. All the smaller banks, all the mid-range regional banks will be forced out of business. And and they always try to sell it as if it's an improvement.
Yeah.
Like somehow it's going to be better for the consumer, right, to deal with 6 or 7 mega banks instead of your choice of any, you know, of hundreds of banks. And so why people believe these corporate PR hacks, I just don't understand. But they always sell these advances, these technological, more invasive technological advances, as being more safe, more secure, more convenient. But what they don't tell you is it steals all of your privacy.
Yeah.
And makes you basically a digital slave.
And then if you don't like globalism, you're a terrorist, according to the World Economic Forum. So, you know, that's where it's heading, isn't it? You don't get to have any sort of a say that doesn't – if you don't agree with the government, whatever it says, then you're potentially labeled a terrorist or whatever, and then they can shut you out of the system or restrict your – access to the system and so on and so forth. It's not a pretty picture, that's for sure.
It really is not, but it's moving very quickly. We've got the FedNow program being launched this month here in the United States, which the Federal Reserve is our central bank system. It's privately owned. It's a quasi-governmental privately owned bank, like most central banks in the world. And they're rolling out this FedNow program that is going to be really an introductory program to the eventual digital currency, central bank issued dollar, CBDC. And when that happens, I believe it's going to be game over for freedom around the world. All nations will be having their version of these central bank digital currencies, these CBDCs, and these are not going to be like regular digital currencies. They're going to have massive amounts of control, you know, to the point where every transaction that you are involved in, it will be logged in real time in a centralized database. They'll know where you bought what you bought, where you bought it, what you paid for it, how much of that product you've purchased over the last month or 2 months, whatever. And if it's something that the establishment system, the beast system, as I call it, doesn't want you to have, well, they're going to start rationing it. And what are they out to ration? Food, energy, fuel, and the money itself. And so it's not even really accurate to call it digital money. It's more like a digital token, because from what I understand, this digital money system, it's not only digital, it's programmable, and they can make the money expire at a certain date. So if you don't spend it by the end of the month or the end of a 3 month period, whatever, it can expire and it will no longer be available to you. So it's a whole new concept of money. And we've had like 20 states here in the United States, Tony, that have been introducing in their state legislatures bills that would redefine money. And critics are saying that this is in preparation for the digital central bank issued digital coinage that's going to probably be released sometime this year. Like I said, we've already got the FedNow digital payment system, and that is probably, I'm told, going to be the foundation for the new digital money system. Other countries are doing the same thing. I read about India today. Of course, China is far down the line with this process. Nigeria, they've started, they not only have a digital currency, but they have started limiting how much cash you can use, how much cash you can withdraw. It's like 40 some dollars a week or a day. I think it's $40 a day and 200 and some dollars a week that you can withdraw from an ATM or a bank in Nigeria. So once they get this in place, I don't think it will immediately replace cash, but they will gradually phase the use of cash out until you're eventually left with just the digital controllable so-called money.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because in that case, it's not ever really yours. It is
right.
It's the government's, it's the banks, and they're loaning it to you, which is pretty much what's happening anyway with banks now, when you find that a bank starts going under and people you can't rush to take your money out because it's not really yours. They'll stop you from getting your right. money out of the bank. And so it never was really ours anyway. It's an illusion.
And think of how this digital money could be used in concert with the 15-minute cities. If people are restricted to 15 minutes walking or bicycling from their home, that would be a little bit difficult to enforce. But along comes the digital central bank currencies, and all of a sudden it's very easy to enforce, because all they have to do is program your money to be where it will not work. It will not be accessible to you outside of that 15-minute pod or that 15-minute zone in which you live. And so now we've got the completely Orwellian system of these pods, and you're not allowed to go outside of your pod. And if you do, you don't have any money to spend. And you're being watched with surveillance cameras and speakers everywhere you go. I mean, this is right out of the book 1984. It's really, really surreal.
And it's all happening while people are being distracted by court cases in New York City and
yes.
former presidents and the division that's being stoked up through things like that. And it's distracting people from the more important issues, really.
Yes, that's how I actually started off a couple of my articles last week, including this one I believe we're talking about now, where I said that, Trump is a big distraction. Everybody's going to be riveted by his arrest and his eventual trial. I don't believe he will spend 10 seconds behind bars. I believe Trump, he's a very polarizing figure, but I believe that it's because of that, that the deep state, the globalists really like they like having Donald Trump around. They really don't want him in prison because they're able to use him to distract people. Either you're on the left and you have an absolute hatred for Trump, or you're on the right. And I'm not saying all people on the right feel this way, because I certainly don't. But a lot of people on the right treat him almost like a god type figure, where he's smarter than everybody else. He's more clever than everybody else. He's playing 6D chess, way ahead of everybody else. Even when it looks like he's making a mistake or doing something stupid, that's just because he's playing 5D chess and he's smarter than everyone else. He's not really making a mistake. Okay, I even saw a alternative media. Nationwide conservative alternative media broadcast last week, where they said they were interviewing somebody, and underneath they had the caption, "In Trump we trust." Mm. Now, that if you're not American, you might not catch that, but the motto on American money is "In God we trust." This conservative outlet in their podcast was saying, "In Trump we trust." And Trump himself has compared himself to Jesus Christ. He has recently said that he's been better for the world and this country, better than anyone except for Jesus Christ. So he's right up there with Christ in his mind. This is scary. When a man holds this type of sway, where he can do no wrong in the eyes of his followers, literally can do no wrong. And if it looks like he's doing something wrong, it must just be because he's, got some unseen strategy out there that we just need to give him blind trust, and trust that even when it looks like he's doing something wrong, it's really right. I mean, that's the way people believe about God, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the Old Testament, God told the Hebrews to go into a neighboring nation, which was very evil, and to slaughter every man, woman, and child. Now, in my human mind, I would question that. I would say, that doesn't sound right. But being that it came from God the Father, I would say to myself, even though it doesn't sound right to me, I'm going to trust that it is right in this case because it came from my God. That seems to be the type of psychological reasoning that I'm getting from some, not all, American Christian conservatives when it vis-a-vis Donald Trump.
And, the thing is, Donald Trump, he bases his entire thing on criticizing everyone else. I mean, he's always sets himself up as higher and better than anybody else, and he'll give people nicknames like De-Sanctimonious or De-Satan or, different things like that, and sets himself up there. And to me, that's not Christian for a start. That's very, very the opposite. There's no humility. It's all pride. And yet how do these people follow the man continuously? But they do. So, but he is a distraction in many ways from the other issues that we're just talking about that are going on in the background. People have got, Fox News today, for example, all of the top headlines are to do with Trump and his New York's court case. There's nothing about these other more important things that are going on, or you don't hear anything about another article that you've mentioned about what's going on in Ukraine with the persecution of Christians, for example. That's just
exactly.
Not there.
Exactly. There is so much going on that is more important right now than Donald Trump's fake arrest. Why do I call it a fake arrest? Because I don't believe it will amount to any conviction. It's a flimsy charge that could have been lodged against him at any point over the last several years. But why did they choose to do it now? Because we see the country getting ready to go into a period of severe economic hardship. Countries are ditching the dollar as the reserve country, the reserve currency, all over the world. You know, Brazil, Saudi Arabia, even Mexico is talking about ditching the dollar. We've got World War III with the Russians looming over us. We've got all these things going on, ratcheting up of Christian persecution, both at home and abroad. But they want you to focus on this piddly little charge against Trump that he paid off some call girl 7 or 8, 10 years ago, however long ago it was. I don't even remember. And it just it would seem to me that anyone with Christian discernment could see that this is distraction and a very major one.
But they don't. So and a lot of people don't. A lot of our listeners will, which is, you know, good. But there's still so many people that buy into this whole thing. And it's designed to do that. It's designed to stir people's emotions up, you know, because since day one, they've been going after Trump. So then it becomes, right, we've got to get behind this man, sort of a thing. But it's a total distraction. So anyway, another article that moving on a little bit that you've written, the US NATO-funded proxy war in Ukraine fueling hatred and persecution of ancient Christian community. That was an interesting read. So you say in it there, Ukraine is already a one-party state under the Zelensky regime where all opposition is banned and the government has effectively nationalized the country's entire media. Now Zelensky is demanding that a top cleric of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church be placed under house arrest for at least 60 days.
Yes, this cleric is Metropolitan Pavel. And he is the abbot of the Kiev Lavra Monastery, which is also called the Monastery of the Caves. It's a very historically important site in Ukraine. It's considered the most holy site among the Orthodox Christian congregations there. And it's been on government-owned property since the days of the Soviet Union. And Zelensky is using that fact to now try to shut it down. And he's arrested the abbot there, putting him in an ankle monitor and saying that he needs to be investigated. Why? Because of suspected support for the Russian invasion. And the security service of Ukraine, which is not unlike the Soviet KGB, at least it's become that way, raided the abbot's personal residence, and they're going to put him on trial, it looks like, over there in Ukraine. And there's some really bad stuff going on. We've now got a standoff outside of this monastery where Christian Orthodox Christians are praying, and the government is sending out its nationalist thugs, the people who, you know, support the state more than the church, and they're more secular types. Some of them are probably neo-Nazis, but I don't really want to go down that rabbit hole. And they're, you know, publicly mocking the Christians. And I put a video in the article where you can watch some of that. It's just a really, oh, and one gentleman even was wearing a T-shirt that says, "Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior, Satan?" So they're either Satanists or they're pretending to be Satanists just in an effort to mock the Christians who really just want to be left alone and be able to worship and have this monastery.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it's I suppose it's indicative of what's happening in so many other places too, where Christians are now starting more and more to become the persecuted ones, or anyone that names the name of Christ Jesus, you know, and that would fit very much in with the beast system as well, and what we see in Revelation as to what the persecution that comes upon the church in the end as well. So,
wouldn't it though?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. You get the idea from Revelation that Christians at some point will be like hunted animals.
Yeah.
And you can almost see that mentality being fostered or cultivated in the body politic. The you know, the rhetoric that comes out of you know, our government here in the United States. Last week they had some big celebration of transgenderism, International Transgenderism Day or something, and the statement put out by the White House was really interesting, because at the same time, Tony, that they were lifting up and, you know, pandering to the transgender community, they compared it with the awful MAGA community, you know, the MAGA, Make America Great crowd, which again is what? You're Trump supporters. Mm. So they play these Trump people off against the super progressives and the militant transgenders, and they say that the transgender community is under attack by these MAGA people. During the same week, I kid you not, this all went down during the same week that a transgendered woman, a woman who identifies as transgender, shot up a Christian school and killed 6 people, including 3 little children. So instead of, you know, sympathizing with the Christian community and maybe rebuking some of this militant transgender crowd, no, it's the opposite. The government comes out in the same week that happened and rebukes the MAGA crowd and lifts up as almost saintly the transgender community. It really is astonishing. You can't make this up.
It is crazy, because until a few years ago, you'd be lucky if you saw 1 or 2 transgender people a year somewhere, you know?
Right.
And yet now it's become like you're almost something wrong with you if you don't want to become one or something, or, you know.
Well,
and
I think, you know, at least here, you know, the benefits, basically you can get away with anything if you're transgender. You know, I can see maybe why some young people would want to identify with that, you know, type of lifestyle. But
well, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned that, you know, the shooting the other day. Well, a major news outlet here in New Zealand never even mentioned the fact that that woman was living, you know, identifying as a transgender. There's a big long article about the whole shooting, and they not once mentioned that, because that same publication a couple of days earlier was almost heroising another transgender activist here in New Zealand. And yet when that shooting happened, it's like, well, maybe we don't want to mention that transgender, you know, thing.
Yeah, whereas here it was the opposite. The first news agency to break that story that the shooter identified as transgender was NBC News, okay? NBC News. Mm. NBC News is like the face of the establishment media. I mean, they are the leader in the deep state propaganda, you know, messaging that comes out of the deep state. So the fact that they were the first one within hours to report that the shooter was transgender, to me, that was an effort to gaslight the American people. And almost, maybe even more than that, I think what's going on here, the fact that the mainstream media, the establishment media, the deep state mouthpieces were all, you know, loudly reporting that this was a transgender shooter. And then you got President Biden with his message out of the White House that I talked about a minute ago, all in the same week. It's almost like they're hoping to provoke a response. They're throwing it in our faces, hoping that, you know, here's a transgender woman who's shooting up your people, your Christian students, on the one hand, and then the president comes out and says, you know, transgenders are the brave, most courageous, most wonderful people in the nation, you know, rather than sympathizing with the Christians. It's like they want the Christians to be to get upset and for one of them to go off half cocked and carry out an attack against a transgender element of our society. That's what I think they're hoping for, Tony. I really do.
Well, the other side of that thing is they also, the media then did pump up there some of the transgender community saying, well, it's because this woman was persecuted as a child in the Christian institution. That's why she needed to go out and retaliate, kind of a thing. So that they then again push it down to suddenly it's almost the church and that school's fault that this person turned out that way.
Yeah, so. Right. It becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, after a while. But I think the goal is to, you know, every persecution starts out by demonizing the desired target.
Yeah.
And that's what's been going on here for the last few years now. You know, just like in Nazi Germany, before they carried the Jews off to the death camps, they had to thoroughly demonize them in the mind of the public. And that's what I see going on with these, you know, these diatribes, these presidential diatribes against, quote, MAGA. You know, that MAGA is like code here, code that the progressives use to describe white conservative Christians. Even though all of us don't identify with Donald Trump by any stretch, yeah. They slap that word around MAGA to paint with a broad prod brush everybody who might fall into that category, even if they don't support Donald Trump. If you're white, you're conservative, you're Christian, that's MAGA in the mind of these progressives.
Yeah, listen, I'm pretty sure that this video would get banned on YouTube, so I'm going to end up just posting a trailer on YouTube and the full one on our other platforms, yeah. Rumble and our website, aminutetomidnight.com, and BitChute as well, and Apple Podcasts. So that brings me to the third thing that you wanted to mention, which was the call to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer, in another article you've just posted.
Yeah, this was an article I just posted minutes before we started our interview, Tony. Apparently the Muslim community in Minneapolis already blasts their call to prayer three times a day over loudspeakers, but now they've gone before the city council and demanded the right to do it five times a day. And I posted a local news report, video report in the article, so people know it's not just me making this up. Got the local news, you know, mainstream media report there, which people can watch. And, you know, this is the type of thing, the type of cultural change in a community that does not just spring up organically. You know, a bunch of people, thousands, tens of thousands of Minneapolis residents didn't just decide to convert to Islam, become Muslim, and demand the call to prayer five times a day over loudspeakers. But if you read the mainstream news or listen to their TV reports, you would have no idea why are there so many Muslims in Minneapolis and in Minnesota in general. For that, you'd need to read my book, Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. And you would learn how, you know, a huge percentage of Minneapolis, why they're Muslim. They didn't convert. They were sent here by our government in cooperation with nine volunteer agencies, six of which identify as Christian. They were recruited and brought here by our government, paid for with our tax dollars, and they're literally transforming America one city at a time, Tony. And this is just one example of what happens when a city becomes transformed through refugee resettlement. Who wants to hear a Muslim call to prayer blasting through loudspeakers 5 times a day? And I pose at the end of my article, I wonder if a Christian church requested the same type of permission to blast the Lord's Prayer 5 times a day over loudspeakers in a central location, pick the most centrally located, biggest Christian church in Minneapolis, and they were to make such a request. I doubt that the Minneapolis City Council would even hear their request, even put it on their agenda to be voted on. But they are going to consider this request from the Muslims in that city. And when it's all said and done, I would be surprised if they don't get their demands met.
Yeah, well, a Christian call to prayer or the Lord's Prayer or whatever would be met with people wearing Satanist shirts saying, you know, save your Satan and different things like that, protests and transgenders and every which way else under the sun, but they'll never do
right,
that.
Right, but isn't it strange how the progressives are all fall silent when it's the Muslims yeah. making a religious demand?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do the progressive atheists really want to hear the Muslim call to prayer every day 5 times?
No.
I doubt it, but they know that they have a common enemy, right? The Christians.
Yeah.
And so they grin and bear it, and they do not complain one iota about any of these demands coming from radical Islamic elements. And it's not just the call to prayer. In my book, Stealth Invasion, I document all sorts of crazy cultural demands that go on, from wearing hijabs to, wearing hijabs in mugshots, like when a Muslim woman is arrested, she doesn't have to take off her head garb like I would. I'm wearing a baseball cap right now. I wouldn't be allowed to keep this on my head if I were to get a mugshot in a police station. Child brides, female genital mutilation. This has all been going on in these cities being flooded with Islamic refugees.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sobering thing. Tell you what, there's one or two other little completely unrelated things that I think I wouldn't mind mentioning as we wrap up the show. And that is the number of train derailments that are happening in America. It's like, is there sabotage going on? And if so, who is the sabotagers and saboteurs, I should say? And, it just seems to be an awful lot of them that are happening. There's that. And then there's the other thing I read with the land being sold to Chinese, massive amount of land being sold for battery manufacture. I can't even remember where I saw that in the US. So there's all these things undermining the country that you have, really.
Yeah, I had an article on that Chinese battery manufacturer March 23rd posted on my site. Ah. Michigan governor hands her state over to Chinese communists.
So which state was that, sorry?
Michigan.
Michigan, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Governor Whitmer, Gretchen Whitmer, is there in Michigan, Democrat, of course, and she enticed this Chinese battery maker to purchase 700 acres in Big Rapids, I believe it is, Big Rapids, Michigan, and give them all kinds of tax incentives to build there. Well, come to find out that this Chinese company has in its bylaws that its mission is to not just make batteries for electric cars, but to support the Chinese Communist Party and everything it does, and to promote its values and to work with youth to convert them to being communists. And so we exposed that, back on March 23rd, about a week and a half ago. It's just one thing after another here in the States, Tony.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. And then with the train derailments and the potential for poison to be in the water again, and I'm staggered to see how many of these are happening.
Yeah, I mean, do you have that many train derailments in New Zealand?
No, it's very rare, extremely rare. And we have a lot of trains running around here, but you hardly ever hear of derailments.
Well, apparently we have 1,000 per year, train derailments.
Crazy.
And that this has been going on for, you know, a while now, but it seems like this year it's been stepped up even more. Do we just have an archaic, pitiful rail system, or is somebody launching attacks? I really can't say, because it's not something I've investigated, but, you know, something's going on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely, like you say, one thing after another.
Yeah, it's either sabotage or you know, we have just a crumbling, horribly structured rail system that can't handle the number of trains that are going back and forth every day, and they're not properly maintained, and it's an issue of infrastructure, which we do have infrastructure problems in this country. Nobody would deny that. But by the same token, the timing of it, you know, does seem a little suspect as we're getting, you know, taking more of a antagonistic stance towards Russia and China. You know, Russia and China, particularly China, has a lot of operatives in this country. And it's very easy to sabotage a railroad. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it needs to be investigated.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Right. So to finish off, it's all a little depressing, some of this, what's going on. And I mean, New Zealand's the same. There's issues going on here that are like that. What do we do? You know, how do we stay? How do we not let this get on top of us, Leo?
Number one is try not to let yourself get demoralized, disillusioned, depressed. Those are the three bad D words right there, I guess. You know, and the way to do that is to stay close to the Lord, read your Bible, realize that this is not our home. It's never been our home. It's the devil's playground more than ever. And it probably is going to get worse before, you know, the Lord returns. But if we don't focus on entirely on that, we have to stay informed. Otherwise, it's easy to be deceived, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But at the same time we're being informed, we do have to still focus on the Lord and not just on all the evil, or it will get us down. It will make us depressed.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. So first and foremost, we've got to have a relationship with the Lord and salvation, you know, being Christians to begin with, putting our trust in Jesus and his salvation alone, not in our works or somebody else's, you know, works or anything else or some denomination or whatever. It's a personal relationship with the Lord, and I think we're going to need that more and more to negotiate our way through all this stuff.
You got that right. I mean, there come a point where, you know, it says in the Bible that we're going to be hauled before authorities, and don't even be worried about what you're going to say, because if you have a relationship with the Lord, he will give you the words, and it will be something that, you know, glorifies him and you know, not just something out of our minds that may or may not be what the Lord would have us to say.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds true. Well, thank you again for another really interesting discussion, Leo. It's been great. As I say, I'll be a trailer on YouTube, and everywhere else I'll have the full video. So thanks again.
Well, thank you, Tony. Always a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Cheers, Leo.
Cheers.
So folks, visit leohyman.com, and also don't forget our website is aminutetomidnight.com. Make sure you subscribe to us there. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations, and it's always appreciated, the people that do donate to help me keep this running. And if you want to do help us out by donating, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com as well. And the music used in the show is I've written, played and recorded. Well, God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days' time. So stay safe and keep your eyes on the Lord.